Part 3. You will listen to an interview with a historian. For questions 16 to 20, choose the answer A, B, C, or D, which fits best according to what you hear. You now have 1 minute in which to look at Part 3.
On the program today, it gives me great pleasure to welcome the renowned historian, Professor David Pretz. Professor, you specialize in the Neolithic period and have conducted a considerable amount of research into the settlement of Dimini in northern Greece. Can you tell us something about it?
Yes, Dimini was a small settlement which stood on a low hill rising out of the fertile plains of Thessaly. It's a site of particular interest to the historian because it dates back to the late Neolithic period, around 3500 BC, and as such represents Greece's earliest example of a small-town planning scheme. The settlement comprised a large central building and courtyard situated at the top of the hill, with smaller houses or units on its slopes, all contained within a series of stone ring walls.
Right. Now, Dimini has been the subject of debate among contemporary archaeologists. Why is that?
Well, basically, that's due to two opposing interpretations put forward by leading archaeologists of the early and late 20th century. Dimini was first excavated by the well-known archaeologist Christos Soundas. He made use of the works of Homer as models for interpreting the structural organization of the settlement in order to build a picture of its socioeconomic system. Historians often make use of models such as these to understand and piece together the historical puzzle of early civilizations. In Soundas's case, he used the Iliad and the Odyssey and reconstructed the settlement of Dimini as a castle, its central building housing a wealthy king fortified by subordinate units and surrounding walls which were extended or added to after parts had been destroyed.
And the second interpretation?
In the 1970s, the archaeologist George Hormousiadis re-excavated the site using a different approach. He placed an emphasis on economic production in order to explain social structure and change within a given social group. As a result, his interpretation of Dimini conflicted with that of Soundas. He argued that the settlement reflected a kind of communal system, where several households worked together to maintain the settlement, until a time when the owners of the larger building imposed a system of private property and built walls within the settlement itself.
Whose interpretation do contemporary historians tend to favor, Professor?
Well, you see, the debate is ongoing. Hormousiadis's view is certainly appealing, yet his description of the site is somewhat simplistic and generic, raising concerns about the reasoning behind his interpretation. His theory is based on assumptions regarding the social and economic organization of the site, but the verdict is still pending. One conclusion that can be drawn is that the very contrast between the two interpretations of this settlement highlights how much historians are affected by contemporary social, historical, and cultural influences when making prehistorical reconstructions. Any conclusions resulting from any study of the early past are tentative, and so subject to constant revision.
Professor Pretz, thank you for being with us today.
Now you'll hear the recording again.
On the program today, it gives me great pleasure to welcome the renowned historian, Professor David Pretz. Professor, you specialize in the Neolithic period and have conducted a considerable amount of research into the settlement of Dimini in northern Greece. Can you tell us something about it?
Yes, Dimini was a small settlement which stood on a low hill rising out of the fertile plains of Thessaly. It's a site of particular interest to the historian because it dates back to the late Neolithic period, around 3500 BC, and as such represents Greece's earliest example of a small-town planning scheme. The settlement comprised a large central building and courtyard situated at the top of the hill, with smaller houses or units on its slopes, all contained within a series of stone ring walls.
Right. Now, Dimini has been the subject of debate among contemporary archaeologists. Why is that?
Well, basically, that's due to two opposing interpretations put forward by leading archaeologists of the early and late 20th century. Dimini was first excavated by the well-known archaeologist Christos Soundas. He made use of the works of Homer as models for interpreting the structural organization of the settlement in order to build a picture of its socioeconomic system. Historians often make use of models such as these to understand and piece together the historical puzzle of early civilizations. In Soundas's case, he used the Iliad and the Odyssey and reconstructed the settlement of Dimini as a castle, its central building housing a wealthy king fortified by subordinate units and surrounding walls which were extended or added to after parts had been destroyed.
And the second interpretation?
In the 1970s, the archaeologist George Hormousiadis re-excavated the site using a different approach. He placed an emphasis on economic production in order to explain social structure and change within a given social group. As a result, his interpretation of Dimini conflicted with that of Soundas. He argued that the settlement reflected a kind of communal system, where several households worked together to maintain the settlement, until a time when the owners of the larger building imposed a system of private property and built walls within the settlement itself.
Whose interpretation do contemporary historians tend to favor, Professor?
Well, you see, the debate is ongoing. Hormousiadis's view is certainly appealing, yet his description of the site is somewhat simplistic and generic, raising concerns about the reasoning behind his interpretation. His theory is based on assumptions regarding the social and economic organization of the site, but the verdict is still pending. One conclusion that can be drawn is that the very contrast between the two interpretations of this settlement highlights how much historians are affected by contemporary social, historical, and cultural influences when making prehistorical reconstructions. Any conclusions resulting from any study of the early past are tentative, and so subject to constant revision.
Professor Pretz, thank you for being with us today.
That's the end of part 3. Now turn to part 4.